the future. A relentless, desperate wasteland ravaged by nuclear war. With the destruction of the internet and search engines such as Google, accurate information about the past is traded like currency. Two brave travelers are commissioned with the dangerous task of going back through time to gather as much information as they can to find out about the late 20th and early 21st centuries in hopes that a future society may rebuild what was lost and avoid the horror of a smoldering radioactive planet. But there is a catch. The travelers' journey back across eons of time is a one-way trip, leaving them stranded in the past.
Wait, what?
There's no way to communicate their findings to the future other than burying reinforced time capsules in the ground.
Are you serious?
In the hopes that one day recordings such as these will be unearthed to provide a glimpse of the world that once was.
All right.
This is the mission of the crispy coated robots, and it must succeed.
Hey, it's Jim.
And it's Joseph.
Hey, it's George. Episode 175, 25 episodes to go. Until 200. And
wow. The countdown is really beginning now.
200. When we get to episode 200, you get that one for free. You get that.
Really?
Free.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
very
right.
Nice. So
what we're talking about today, boys and girls, is movie performances by a musician. Okay. So it's somebody that had a well-known musical career, and they have just a stellar movie role. Okay. And Joseph, the Home Office, you were showing something earlier. What were some of the limitations on this?
So number one, the artist has to be known, well-known for music before they become like film actors.
So like they have to have charted.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, Jamie Foxx, sorry. We knew you as an actor before we knew you could sing.
Oh, boo.
I know. Jennifer Lopez. Same thing, Jennifer.
Yeah, boo. You know. Selena was really good.
So the artists couldn't be starring as themselves in the performance itself.
To play it safe, none of mine are even acting like musicians.
And none of yours are actually musicians. What?
You'll
see.
They can't like all of a sudden be more known for acting than a musician.
Ooh.
LL Cool J. Sorry. Everyone's
wait a minute. He's one of the founders of hip hop. I mean, he's like one of the.
He is, but I mean, come on. Like,
it a comeback.
Yeah, Ice-T, really?
Ice-T, man. He had some hits.
Yes.
New Jack Hustler.
I think if you ask people how they know Ice-T or LL Cool J, unless they're our age, most people are like,
I'm going off of our age because that's the age I am. And that's
Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah, Unity, UINTY.
I'm just saying.
Ladies first.
Yeah. Well, I can tell this is going to be a very controversial episode. Let's get to the second topic, which things that go well with milk.
Boo.
No cereal.
Caveat. No cereal.
Boo. I had like a whole list of cereals.
And it can't be an item that is known as anything else about the musician thing?
It can't be a cookie portraying themselves.
Yes.
It can't. Now, is it an item or is it food?
Things that go well with milk.
If you give me that coffee milk, I'm going to go crazy. I'm
item like a thermos. A thermos goes well with milk because the milk goes in. That's one of Jimbo's things.
Come on now.
You just opened up a can
my
of
hair
worms
products
right
is
there.
Still bugging you because
can of worms goes with milk. So
I thought we settled that argument. You know, a couple hours.
Yeah, we can't
ago,
talk so. About that. He's in trouble now.
I know.
So I won.
All right. Hey. Episode 175. Let's get the show on the road, boys.
All Let's right. Number it. Five, movie performance by a musician, Joseph.
Yes.
1977, Paul Simon in Annie Hall. I really liked this performance. It's a brief performance. Paul Simon starred in One Trick Pony. Great, great movie, but I felt like this
musician, he played a musician.
A musician. He wasn't really playing himself though. Sort of, I guess. Yeah, you could say. But anyway, no, I thought he did a great job playing this sleazy, superficial music producer. And the best, of course, is whenever the cocaine scene, he lays the cocaine out on the coffee table and Woody Allen sneezes. Oh, yeah. It's the best. So there you go.
I just realized I could have done Art Garfunkel in Catch 22.
Parnell Elledge, too.
Yeah.
All right, George.
Number five. Yeah. Okay. This is the greatest singer turned actor in history, but I'm doing it with number five. This is Frank Sinatra in From Here to Eternity.
I remember he
was one of the biggest selling singers in history, and you know, he's the one that ended up with the concept album, you know, first concept album ever in the Wee Small Hours. Got an Oscar though for this role, From Here to Eternity. The story is simple. It's three U.S. Army soldiers, Burt Lancaster, Montgomery Clift, and good old Frank. They're in Hawaii a couple of months right before the attack on Pearl Harbor. And then he goes on, you know, he's in the Manchurian Candidate and Guys and Dolls and Anchors Away and stuff like that. But that is my number five.
I laugh because when we used to go see movies, I was like in college or late high school, went with Matt Stevens, a good friend of ours, RIP, who it would just kind of hit you like at the last minute, hey, let's go see a movie. So we went to go see Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 at the Spring Cinemark Theater, way out of the way because it was the only thing that was open late. So in this theater, they had pictures on the walls of like, you know, like big murals of movie stars like Clark Gable and like, you know, Mel Gibson and stuff. And there's a picture of Frank Sinatra. He said so loud, Frank Sinatra, what the hell is he doing up there? And that always stuck with me.
I would say nobody ever had to guess what was on the mind of Matthew Carter Stevens.
I guess he was just judging.
Sure, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, I would like to dedicate this entry to Matthew Carter Stevens, RIP, From Here to Eternity. And he's in eternity right now. So
yeah, there you go.
He's probably talking to Frank right now.
Enjoying
what the hell
are
you doing here?
And what the hell? What the hell were you doing on the wall in the Spring Cypress Thin? My number five, which, you know, when they said they're going to make this movie, another remake of this movie, I'm like, oh, really, again? But I really did like Lady Gaga in A Star is Born. You know, I thought her performance was real gritty of someone trying to make it and come up and also deal with Bradley Cooper's alcoholism. I never really got into the 70s one with
the Kris Kristofferson, Barbara Streisand one. Just
the
reason, enjoy.
Besides Evergreen, the songs that Kris Kristofferson sang were horrible.
He wasn't singing though; he was speaking them.
Yeah,
he was just like, you know,
and they made fun of this on SCTV. They did a sketch with Crystal Gayle was the Star is Born, and then Joe Flaherty was playing Kris Kristofferson. He was just doing that. He goes, just name barnyard animals. He's like goats. Chicken and just but that's pretty much, if you watch that performance. But Lady Gaga's really good in this. I was really surprised too by Andrew Dice Clay in his turn as her father, really good in this movie. Yeah. But
that's comedians turned actor.
Why
so serious?
Songs are actually good in this, which kind of make it too. So I mean,
and this is why this is my number one.
Really?
Oh, wow. This is my number one, Jim. Yes, we totally agree on this.
Take it away, Joseph. I'm done.
Well, I felt like, you know, the third time is the charm, right? You know?
It was actually the fourth time. It was like...
Yeah, that's true. Four, Gainer, I forgot that.
And then Julia Lennon. Judy Garland. Judy Garland, and then Streisand in this one, yeah.
Yeah, so I know. I felt like, you're right, this is one of those that... it stands on its own. The song stands on their own, you know, which is also another episode we have, you know, out there of, or we talked about having from the home office. They were contemplating that songs that could stand on their own that were written for movies.
What? This is Nebula, or he can see into the future, right?
I can see into the future.
He knows all.
What dimension, man?
Next week. Tune in next week. What are we doing next week?
He has his list from 5 months from now.
But anyways, no, I just really liked this film whenever I saw it, and I thought she can act. I mean, regardless, she really brought the emotional content to it. I mean, just really, really, really good stuff. So my number one.
Good, cool. So we are on now to the best thing served with milk. Go with
milk. Not cereal.
Not cereal, of course. You are correct. Because I had to scrap my whole list. Joseph, what is your number one? What's your number five? We're skipping lines. Joseph, you talked about the future. I thought we'd rather just skip forward.
Hey, Joseph, why don't you just tell us what ends up being in today's canister? And we don't have to talk about anything. Yeah, yeah.
Spoiler, George dies at the end. Wait,
oh,
what?
No. Oh, episode 200.
All right.
My number five is pie.
It's my number one. But I have a very specific chocolate cream pie made by Silk Kabachik.
I have apple pie. So how do we do this?
Just go with the basic pie, and we all kind of have our.
What I agree pie because I was thinking first. In all honesty, I was thinking apple pie. I'm like but I like all pies with. I like milk with all pies.
That is my number four. What number is that for you, Jim?
Oh, it's number one, but it's Silk Kabachik's chocolate cream pie.
All right. I'm going to take a turn to the dark side here. My number five, and I had it today. I had this today. A hot bowl of chili.
What? Oh, no. What?
It just kind of... milk? Not milk in it.
No, but
that sounds like gross. Someone is going to the restroom right after that combination.
What are they saying, Anchorman? This was a bad choice.
Yes.
I stand by it. It's good. You should try it.
Chili. All right. My number five, a little more traditional. And I'm not going to say the umbrella of cookies. I'm going to go with Oreo cookie.
Oh, my number one.
Number five. Okay. Wow.
This is my number one.
Oh, wow.
Another three-way.
And it's number one because my wife insisted that was number one.
Wow.
So you'd get a divorce.
Where's the pants, Nebula? Yeah. You know, you don't wear pants, but it's so, anyway.
I'm the head of the family, but the wife is the neck that turns the head. So, yeah.
All right. So pretty much, I think we all have the same feeling. It spawned cookies and cream, one of the greatest flavors of all time. The actual dipping of the Oreo in milk. Maybe they said, hey, let's make ice cream flavor out of this. But
if you really want to live, take an Oreo, dip it in a hot bowl of chili.
That's just so gross. All right. Let's move back to the performance by a musician. Number four, Joseph.
1979, up and coming, rocker, Sting in Quadrophenia.
Oh,
okay. Wait a minute. When was the first Police album?
Huh?
When was the first Police album?
78.
Uh-oh.
Let me check here.
That's going to be
we're going to have to check to see when the album was released compared to the release date of the movie.
Go ahead, Jim.
This is your own rules, Joseph.
I'm saying he was more known for a singer. That's why he was picked out because, he caught the eye of he was like. He was jazz.
Now you're kind of questioning yourself.
I know.
No, I'm not. I'm
really, guys. Come on,
it's
guys.
It's right there. I'm not going to let you do it. It's Quadrophenia by Sting. He was more known as a singer.
You're right. 78 was the movie. The movie
suck came it. Out, suck well, it, Jim.
The movie came out in 79.
Oh, he's bold now. He's bold now.
It came out in 79. The album came out in November 78. It was close. It was super close. But hold on. Let me see when Roxanne peaked. Because if Roxanne didn't peak until after the movie was released, then we have a little bit of a discussion. Because you say he's best known for a singer, right?
Yeah.
No, he's best known for Ace Face. That's his character.
I know. I saw that.
Fallout was a hit in England, which caught the eye of the producers.
Oh boy, I don't know.
I'm telling you right now.
I got you worried.
All we have to do is just not vote for it. I don't know why we're making.
No. Yeah. I'm just joking. I think you're in the clear, but it was close. But anyway, okay. Gotcha. George, what's your number four?
Wow. For my number four. All that for my number four.
Y'all gave me problems about hot bowl of chili. So
I'm just trying to make sure that the rules are set here. So
what's all your right. So this is the second best actress nomination for this singer turned actress. And it is Lady Gaga, but this time it's for House of Gucci in 2021. So I don't know how we reconcile this, but
she plays the one that doesn't have a ridiculous accent.
George, you're not going to get the mouse.
But this is George. Ridley Scott's film about the real murder of Gucci and the downfall of the whole Gucci family. Stars Born's 2018. This is a couple of years later, 3 years later, I guess. 2021.
Lady Gaga. I'll go with 30 Seconds to Mars first before this.
Look at the little look at George, the little mouse. He tried to figure
I guess she can't be in twice.
He's trying to figure. No, she can't be in twice, George. Then look at the little mouse. It is Georgie. Sorry. All right. My number four.
Get it out of your system.
From the 2004 movie Starsky and Hutch, I'm going with Snoop Dogg as Huggy Bear in the movie. Of course, Snoop Dogg had his all his big singles in the early 90s. And just to make sure that point's taken. Played Huggy Bear, originally played by Antonio Fargas in the TV show, kind of captured that whole spirit of the pimp informant in the movie. So Snoop Dogg as Huggy Bear is my number four. There we go. Back now to things that go well with milk, not cereal, or not chili. What is your number four, Joseph?
Brownies.
Oh, that's my number four. Number three.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, I don't know what number it is.
It's on here somewhere. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my number three. Sorry.
Any flavor or just the traditional kind of chocolate brownies?
You know, if it's a brownie, whether it's fudge, it's chocolate, you have to have milk you have to have milk because water soda just does not pair well.
A hot bowl of chili? Crumble it in there like crackers. Probably the worst answer I think we've had in a long time.
You ruin the chili and you ruin the brownie. Neither are edible. I think
you said a historic thing on this show. That's probably the worst answer we've ever had. I didn't even see that coming. It was so bad.
No, the worst answer on the show, I've taken a vow not to say with our ruling from the judge a few episodes back. But the worst thing, and I'll just say, listeners, go check out our hair products episode. You'll see what I'm talking about. All right.
Come on.
My number four is apple pie.
Okay. So my number four, very specific, Little Debbie's Nutty Buddy, immortalized in the song by Megan Thee Stallion called Sweetest Pie.
You just want to talk about that
buddy.
Song.
I want to put my Nutty Buddy in your fudge round, which is also a Little Debbie product. So fudge browns is my honorable mention. But the Nutty Buddy is if you don't know, it's wafers with peanut butter in it and covered with chocolate. So stick my Nutty Buddy in your fudge round is my number four. All right, back now to the number three performance by a musician. And we'll take a short break after that. Joseph, what's your number three?
You know, I liked him in Rocky Horror Picture Show. I liked him in The Roadie. But I have to say, best performance by Meatloaf was in 1999's Fight Club.
Yes.
Paul
Paulson.
Yeah. I mean, just sort of a quirky character, but done so well with such sincerity, you know, in the character that it sort of blows you away. And yeah. I think a lot of people that were not familiar with Meatloaf really thought this guy's just a great actor, you know, really good part, though. Meatloaf, Fight Club.
Yeah, and he's a very sympathetic character in there, where it would have been real easy just to make him comical and goofy, but there's a real sense of humanity in that character, which makes it even more tragic.
Yes. You know?
But wonderful stuff.
Very nice. What is your number three, George?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself. I know an impersonation is coming. Okay. It is. I'm going to say the name of the character. I'm going to try to buy as much time as we can here before you hear the impersonation. But it's Doyle Hargreaves, okay, portrayed by Dwight Yoakam in Sling Blade. A letter rip, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Hey, some people call it a Kaiser blade. I call it a Sling Blade.
There we go. Yeah. So as a musician, Dwight Yoakam, major contributor to the whole that Bakersfield sound and country music. In 1993, he's this surly, violent stepfather opposite of Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade. And it is amazing. I sit there, and even to this day, when I watch it, I try to see Dwight Yoakam, the singer, and I can't see him in there.
He's such a jerk in there. It's such a transformation. Yeah.
And it really, really is. I mean, his features are there. I mean, it's not like he's wearing a mask.
Or, you know, that hat that covers up his kind of balding head is completely gone.
And yeah. He is so despicable in this that you're almost at the end rooting for old Billy Bob.
You got any biscuits in there?
Yeah. Any taters?
And yeah. Mustard and biscuits. Yeah.
But that is my number three, Dwight Yoakam as Doyle Hargreaves in Sling Blade.
Now you can, there's some magazines in there, and there's some hard candy to pass the time.
Yeah. What episode was that, Jim?
It was the best second lines. There's some hard candy and magazines to pass the time. Talk about an existence at night. There's no TV, but there's some magazines and hard candy.
Yeah, what's the problem with that? What are you implying, sir?
How many minutes?
But what does he like to eat the most?
French fried potatoes.
Yeah, now I'm making it into an episode.
You got any more of that potted meat?
All right.
All right. Jim. Yes, my number three is a singer that was first found out on American Idol. Made probably the worst decision not to actually make her the American Idol that year. Booted off, everybody was shocked. But Jennifer Hudson, Jennifer Hudson went on to play Effie in Dreamgirls in 2006 and won Best Supporting Actress. Pretty much an amazing performance. Effie's kind of the soul of the show. It's kind of like weird because you feel like Beyonce took the gig to kind of get her, you know, she's always said she wanted to win an Oscar to get her career on a certain level, and it was just stolen from her by Jennifer's performance as Effie White. Of course, you're also assisted by one of the biggest torch songs in the history of Broadway, And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going, so that really captured well too, but captured all the whole story, the ups and downs of Effie White, who, you know, was represented, was supposed to be Supremes member Florence Ballard, that was kind of knocked out of the band and everything like that, and then came back. So very good performance, won the Oscar, won many awards, and nobody thought she could actually act. Just, you know, American Idol, people come off the street. She doesn't win. She releases an album, and then, of course, wins the Academy Award.
When you don't win that show.
Almost is better when you don't win.
Because Kelly Clarkson,
I couldn't even tell you the last five or six people. I mean, I could tell you the first five, but I can't tell you any of people who've won from the seasons after that. Yeah, I can tell you losers instead of winners, actually. There's a lot of losers that have gone on to do
great things. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Jennifer Hudson from Dreamgirls is my number three. I think it's now time for a little intermission. See what Caitlin has today. Oh, gaming dice rolled on various surfaces. All right.
This is going to be the whole thing, isn't it?
This might be the dumbest one. Oh, that was wood right there.
It is the bowl of chili of intermissions.
That was kind of a plastic.
I think these are all the same.
No, I'm hearing different services. Like down. Oh, that was kind of like
Yahtzee. Yahtzee.
Yeah. Now these are like, when they say gaming dice, is that like Dungeons and Dragons?
I don't know. It's like my 20-sided die. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's a different surface. Like a drum.
Ta-da. That's backgammon. That sounds like the same surface to me.
Yeah, I'm wanting different surfaces. I'm waiting for that liquid surface, or possibly, you know, like a splash. Mm-hmm. That might be some sort of different plastic tape.
No, I think it's the same. I've heard three different surfaces, but.
We done? I think we're done.
Oh boy.
Wow. That was
the chili of intermissions.
Okay. Now back to speaking of chili, things that go well with milk, not chili or a cereal. What is your number three, Joseph?
My number three is the all time classic PB&J with milk.
My number two. Oh, wow. Yes.
Very nice. Another one into the. Oh, wow. So PB&J, please explain.
Well, you take a little peanut butter.
No, why is it so good?
Why is it so good? It's really, it has more to do with the peanut butter that,
is
you know.
Is there a provocative song involved with this?
Yeah.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Where are you sticking your peanut butter? I don't know.
Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Yeah, you know, I think it has more to do with the peanut butter, but it's just a great combination. It satisfies because you have that sweetness of the jelly that sort of, you know, mutes a little bit, and then it has more of a consistency than water to get the peanut butter to go down.
Can you dip it in chili? That's the question.
Yes, anything, George, is dippable in chili.
George, what is your number three?
I would like to point out episode 131, it was about dice games.
Yes.
Do you think we can, like, can y'all coordinate, like,
they're the a little sounds bit late to the
with
game.
The episode, yeah,
probably five episodes. It'll be pouring milk on different surfaces.
Yeah, milk and chili. Yeah, pouring milk into chili.
Pouring chili.
So what are we doing? What is the,
it's your number three, George?
Brownies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my number three is, in, you know, not doing the whole umbrella cookies, but the classic chocolate chip cookie is my number three because it's also dippable. Not as great as the Oreo, but pretty dang close, especially when they're fresh out of the oven. Chips Ahoy is okay, but like a fresh chocolate chip cookie is even better. So there we go.
This is my number two.
Oh,
which makes me 5 for 5. I'm just saying.
Wow. Only done like one at a time.
Last show was 5 for 5.
Yeah, so, by myself. Man. Yeah, that was pretty good. That good stuff. So any comment on chocolate chip cookie, Joseph?
Well, I think that I feel like this is the one where chocolate chip cookies they can be moist and all that, but like if you're doing Chip Ahoy cookies, yeah, they're normally like hard, you know, which, yes, you know, eating by themselves, they're a little bit dry. And so you got to have that milk to wash it down, to dip it, to moisten it.
Break it apart.
Yes.
There you go.
To put in chili. All right, so let's go now. The joke that keeps on going. Let's go now to number two.
Episode 175, brought to you by Hormel Chili.
What is the number two performance by a musician, Joseph?
And number two, and this is, you know, she had a huge album. She had to kick a drug habit to get this part, but I'm talking about Courtney Love in The People versus Larry Flint.
Yeah.
1996, she had the whole album, and she was really more known as the wife of Kurt Cobain than anything, but she was considered to be a musician, and I thought her performance was pretty incredible. In fact, so did the New York Film's Critic Circle, who awarded her that year for Best Supporting Actress.
Now, I think this is on my honorable mention. I think that she's good, but she's kind of playing kind of a Courtney Love character. But I think that Woody Harrelson is so good, just bouncing off him and
Ed Norton. his album Stowaway is so good.
But I think that, you know, the rest of the reason she didn't make the list, I thought that, you know, it kind of wasn't on her own. She had some really good people to bounce off of. And most of her scenes, she never did like a monologue or anything. It was just kind of like that drunken character out of things. So anyway, but it's a good choice, though. It's my honorable mention. So
dismantling your submission there, Joseph.
I mean, look, I get it. He's hostile towards my list. I get
well,
it.
Well, he doesn't like chili. He doesn't like chili either.
George, what is your number two?
So from small-time rapper to one of the biggest names in Hollywood, Will Smith, one of the ultimate musician to actors. And in 2021, old Slappy there, he got his first Oscar in the biographical sports story entitled King Richard. And he plays the controversial father, tennis coach, manager of tennis superstars Venus and Serena Williams. So that is my number two, King Richard.
Vanessa.
Slappy Will.
All right, so this number two is a little complicated. So it's from 1971, the movie. It's a classic, a road picture called Two Lane Blacktop. And I can't really decide. There's two musicians in it, so I'm splitting it as a tie because they both kind of play the same character. James Taylor is the driver. Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys is the mechanic. And their drag race is pretty much Warren Oates is in this too. Very understated movie. It's became a cult classic, especially in the car community. But James Taylor and Dennis Wilson are at energy level low. But it kind of makes it mysterious in the movie too. So it's kind of a double nomination for the one movie because they kind of play like two versions of the same character. So James Taylor, Dennis Wilson, 1971, the cult classic, Two Lane Blacktop is my number two.
Hey, all right. Joseph, any chance?
I don't even know the movie.
You never saw it?
I never saw it.
Like Monty Hellman directed it. You know Monty Hellman. He did a lot of Westerns, and he also did his last movie. One of his last movies was Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, Better Watch Out. But before that, he did some movies with Jack Nicholson, mainly driving films. But this one is a classic.
Driver's Ed movies? What?
People have to see it to be a classic.
No. I'm really surprised you haven't seen this. This is in every cult movie book I've ever seen, as far as like, you know, cult movie like
80s. Yeah. Wait, are you saying occult or
no, like you know, cult movies, midnight movie type thing. Yeah, this is okay. Like in every book written on that subject. So
yeah, all right.
Questioning your cinephile status, I'm not being facetious.
I've never heard of it.
Your cinephile status was here, but it's really dropped in my book. So
That's what we care about. I've never heard of it either, Joseph.
Really?
Never.
James Taylor and Dennis Wilson. All right. Yeah. So back to number one.
I don't even think I'm gonna read it.
Wow, you are offending the whole movie. Yeah, I thought you guys were cinephiles. You guys are cine dummies.
I'm going to wait for the letters to come in on this one.
Yeah.
James Taylor writes his own letters.
James Taylor will write his own letters. Don't
mention that movie.
It actually is really good, and they're really understated in the movie. So Two Lane Blacktop is my number two. What is your number two food with milk, not cereal or chili? Joseph.
My number two or my number one?
Number two. We started with movies by performances by musicians.
Let's see, what is my number two? It's already on the list because I've already got my five in. So
probably chocolate chip, huh?
Yep.
Okay. What is your number two, George?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So already done.
My number two, which completes my list, is cake. You know, any kind of cake, birthday cake. My mom's marble cake is a good one. So
always. But it doesn't matter because we've already got five. So
yeah, I understand. I got you. Let's go back to number one, performance by a musician. What is your number one, George? I mean, Joseph.
Lady Gaga.
George?
All right. So Marky Mark, he's one of those examples that we're talking about of a musician that transitioned to Hollywood so well, people don't even know that he was rapper, Marky Mark. And, of course, a Calvin Klein model. But Mark Wahlberg in The Departed in 2006, with all of these fantastic performances and Martin Scorsese's Best Picture winner, it's Wahlberg. He's the only one that got the acting nomination, which is crazy when you consider it had Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon and Jack Nicholson, Martin Sheen and Alec Baldwin. Wahlberg plays Staff Sergeant Sean Dignam, and along with Martin Sheen beside him, they convince Leonardo DiCaprio to go undercover and infiltrate South Boston's Irish mob boss, Frank Costello. And it's a great film if you haven't seen it, but I will spoil a little bit. Wahlberg gets the last laugh at the very end of the film. His final moments just tied all up in a nice little bow. But that is my number one, Mark Wahlberg in The Departed.
The only problem I have with that, and I had him for Boogie Nights on my honorable mention, is only because the shortness of his movie career, of his music career, and the fact that he was supposed to be one of the original members of New Kids on the Block, but his behavior was so bad, just kind of got put in the group because his brother was trying to help him out. This is another kind of happy accident. I don't think his heart is musically inclined. If he was, he'd still be going back to music. The music bug left him as soon as this album was over. So sadly, I don't really consider him an actual musician. I consider him more of an actor playing, a rapper in this whole situation. The band was contrived, put together by a record company. So I don't think that's his original desire in his heart to be a musician. So I would have to say a no to this one because I think he's more known for his acting, even though he did an album. So.
Joseph, have you seen Tulane Blacktop?
You guys should. Cinephiles are laughing at you right now. My number one is from 1977.
Oh, God, let it be obscure.
Oh, God, you got it. Oh, God is the name of the film.
Oh, no.
John Denver. Thank you, George. Oh,
nice. Nice.
John Denver plays every man who encounters God. He plays Jerry Landers. He's a supermarket manager. And then he pretty much is, befriended by God in the form of George Burns. And we have a kind of series of skepticism, even though God is like showing him in this miracles and stuff. And it comes to a great conclusion in the courtroom with Paul Sorvino as kind of this Ernest Ainsley type preacher. And also there's all the clergymen in there.
God's own quarterback. Man was called God's own quarterback.
And I love the introduction scene to him too. Paul Sorvino, he's like, "Love, let's talk about love." And there's a close up on him, and this is congregation. They sing the whole thing. He has the whole world in his hand, singing that song and everything, just old time religion stuff. But in the end, he loses his job, and pretty much, it's kind of a Job like character, loses his job, and all this for God, get more awareness
for the sequel.
Oh, God, you devil. My only issue with this entry here is that he wasn't in Oh God, You Devil.
Yeah. That was Ted Wass. And of course, they did the second one with the little girl. Best one.
This was by far the good one.
Seriously, I don't think in his heart that he really liked singing the songs that he's become famous for. In his heart of hearts, I don't think he really wanted to go home on those country roads,
he wasn't about the Rocky Mountains.
He wasn't Rocky Mountain High. He didn't care,
but he has,
because we're judging the hearts of people now.
Yes, Joseph. We are. We're he judging has a rich, okay. He has a rich intent. Musical history. Yeah. Of course, he was in the Chad Mitchell Trio back, at age 11, he played at age 11. He received an acoustic guitar. It's like,
Joseph, you can just wind him up. You can just wind him up.
Chad Mitchell Trio, wrote Leaving on a Jet Plane, Peter, Paul, and Mary. I don't remember Marky Mark writing any classic songs.
Yeah, but, you know,
I'm just saying, given Jim, that he died as much plane, as I'm not going to vote for Tulane Blacktop, I probably will vote for this one.
Thank you very much.
But, you know, John Denver died in a plane crash. And so Leaving on a Jet Plane, is that really?
Well, he was flying the plane, too. So I know. He loved to fly. I know.
So, yeah. But, well. Oh.
So what does that have to do with anything?
Well, exactly. I think we're just going to get some emails on this one.
You know who we're not going to get an email from?
We're going to get an email from James Taylor himself.
John Denver. You know.
Well, that's not very nice. That's not very nice.
Oh, my God.
But the original one, is the best one. It was written by Larry Gelbart, you know, comedy legend who did all the MASH stuff and did a bunch of other great screenplays.
No, it's a good movie. The first one, and I had forgotten about this, honestly. Even though I am saying all this stuff, I could vote for John Denver.
Yeah,
and
God. Yeah, that's a good one.
Because he, you know, the thing is, I hate it when you have a singer or a musician of some sort, and somewhere in the movie they, I just need to play a song or something. Yeah.
This didn't happen in this
that.
Movie.
And there's none of that. You believe he's the grocery guy all the way through. And it's a very good performance.
I think you did this trivia on another show, George, but he was supposed to play the Richard Gere part in Officer and a Gentleman, which would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that? Shucks, I got nowhere else to go.
Take me home. Country road.
All right, so he's done. Now we can move on to the voting process.
Yes. Portion. Well, we don't need to vote on things that go well with milk, not cereal, because we have apple pie, brownies, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, Oreos, and chocolate chip. And then, hang on.
What happened?
But all what right. Happened? I don't. Tom interrupting the show. Oh, okay. Well, let me see. We'll get back over there. Start. If you play the music for Joseph, play the music for me. Ah, there we go.
We don't have one this week.
No, we actually do. And this is a special one.
What?
Because you're going to love this, Joseph. Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on.
I'm sorry. He didn't get it.
No, this is an apology letter from, and by the way, I don't agree with the title, the We Suck thing. But it's an apology letter.
We're sorry,
from,
we suck.
I don't agree to that. It's from Candace Brock from Hamden, CT is Connecticut, right? Hamden, really? Connecticut.
Wow, it's far away.
And
nice.
Says, hey, boys, longtime listener, Candy B. Okay, so she Candy goes like B. Candy. Candy B.
Candy B listening.
Here. And I hope you both. I'm here, and you both owe an apology to Connecticut's favorite crispy robot, Joseph. Well,
what? So
that's that nice. Makes
very. Thomas it's a very small state.
during the episode that I just listened to, episode 174, the one about jelly beans, well, it was about other stuff too, but it was mistakenly reported that Jim had the first ever 5-item match on his jelly bean flavors. This is simply not true. Underlined 3 times. In episode one, I see where we're headed. In episode 136, Joseph had a 5-match on top 5 sandwich scenes in a movie.
I know, so my sandwiches.
So who sucks now?
Well, okay. I think there is a discrepancy. Joseph is a Nebulor, and he's not an original crispy. So he does not count towards the actual original crispy.
This? Now, if George, episode.
If Let me George and letter. I, if George says, or I would have done it as an seriously. Original crispy, that would be it. So technically, that is incorrect. Joseph so, is
anyway. Correct. Let me finish the letter.
I just want to say seriously, early in the show. Early in the Seriously, show, he played we it the love future, the you know.
Just hush. Seriously, we love the show here. I listen every week. I'm a dog walker, and I listen to new and old episodes on our walk. Thank you. Keep it up, CB. So
on this very show, we all heard it. Joseph skipped 5 shows into the future to tell us what was going on. So, I mean, he knows what's going on already. So that's an unfair advantage.
So Candace, just write in.
To have an original Crispy do it, that Jim was the brother. Thank you very much.
I appreciate Candace.
Candace does, we appreciate
let's get
that.
Out of this quagmire.
She doesn't really understand the show. So
let's, oh, geez. Well, yeah, Jim, Connecticut, Jim hates you. Honorable mention, guys. What do you have for
things go with milk donuts? I like milk with donuts, but I did. It's my honorable mention because most people associate like coffee and donuts. So
yeah, I had donuts and fruit and milk smoothies. So
I had for the actor, I had Jack White as Elvis in the Dewey Cox movie Walk Hard.
That's right.
Yeah.
I also have, let's see, I have Olivia Newton-John from Xanadu, but I know that wouldn't get in. So, but, you know, just for, you know, a whole, whatchamacallit, guilty pleasure, the entire cast of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie, including Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees, personal favorite of mine. And that, I think, is it.
So I was hoping you'd have Mick Jagger from Free Jack.
I have, no?
Tina Turner.
Diana Ross and Lady Sings the Blues.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah,
very nice.
I didn't put it in there because all of these movies suck. 33 Elvis movies, I can't stand any of them. Had taken the role in Giant, you know, but he forfeited that to James Dean. And then I also have Tom Waits because he has been in so many movies. Probably my favorite, The Old Man and the Gun, the Robert Redford bank robber thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been in Book of Eli and The Ballad of Buster Scruggs and Licorice Pizza, you know, recently.
Was he Dracula too?
He was in that as Renfield. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in so many movies. But really the most believable role, again, The Old Man and the Gun. But,
was the Paul Thomas Anderson, the Licorice Pizza he was in too.
I mentioned that. David Bowie, Starman, Chris Christopherson, Harry Styles in Dunkirk, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. That's a very good one.
And then Ice Cube and Ice-T, which we know Jim is opposed to that.
Well, no, I'm not opposed to that. Ice Cube, I met. No, Ice Cube's, you know, that he's legit. So, I mean. Ice-T also,
to quit. Oh wait, that's a different.
Well, I'm just saying he had a pretty steady career before he started acting. So
yeah,
so,
yeah.
But
all right. Okay. So what we have to choose from? We only have one match, and that's Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born. We have Frank Sinatra. Sorry, Matt. From Here to Eternity. Lady Gaga, House of Gucci.
George is a little mouse. Look at them reading the list. Look at them reading the list. Look at
and
you.
And here's our second impersonation, Dwight Yoakam and Sling Blade.
Sling.
Yep. It's a Sling Blade.
You got any biscuits in there?
Mm-hmm. Will Smith and King Richard.
You got that potted meat? Sorry.
Nothing for that. Okay. Mark Wahlberg, who doesn't even like music. Doesn't even listen to the radio.
Now you're getting it.
He's the only person that doesn't hum. He doesn't whistle, doesn't hum.
Now you're getting it, George.
But Paul Simon and Annie Hall, Sting and Quadrophenia, that's never going to happen. Snoop Dogg and Starsky and Hutch, the remake. Meatloaf and Fight Club. I can do that. Jennifer Hudson and Dreamgirls, Courtney Love and The People versus Larry Flint. I promised I wouldn't read this one.
Yes.
And then John Denver,
James Taylor, and Dennis Wilson from Tulane Blacktop, the classic cult film back in the day.
Okay, I think we can all agree on Dwight Yoakam.
Okay. Dale.
I would say
I can do Meatloaf.
I came here to king you with this Sling Blade.
John Denver, Oh God.
Yeah.
All right. So one more.
We got to put, Tom, if you can put the trailer to the riveting Tulane Blacktop along with this show, that'd be great. Thank you. So everybody can kind of get a feel for that. Warren Oates is in it too, by the way.
Oh.
Sergeant Hulkle himself.
Well, why didn't you say so? Okay.
I'm going to go with Frank Sinatra. I think that's an interesting choice. Sorry, a classic Matt. One.
One of the first,
because he did it. He did it before Elvis. All of those Elvis.
Yeah, he was the original Bobby Sox
Yeah.
Kind of
turned
idol. Actor. Little teenage idol.
All right. So we have Blue Eyes and here from Here to Eternity, Dwight Yoakam and Sling Blade, Lady Gaga.
Little Mouse.
Lady Gaga and A Star Is Born.
Oh, sorry.
You gotta pee your pants, Jim.
I like you.
You gotta pee your pants.
I just wanted to give you a look one more time.
Meatloaf and Fight Club. You got anything?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Yeah.
Those big breasts. and John Denver and Oh God.
Golly.
George Burns. Get my message out there, Jerry. People need to know.
There we go. Oh,
God.
What did I say? Episode 175. For all you chili milk lovers, right into the show.
That is absolutely
robots.
That means 0.0 listeners out there.
Is it because the chili is so hot? Is that why, George? Why, George?
Okay,
why?
So, all right. If the chili is really, really spicy, if it's seasoned really spicy, the milk kind of takes the edge off and you can dip back into the chili. So
now
it's a perfect balance.
I took that spicy chip challenge and I did that with milk too. And it just made it taste worse and horrible and stomach hurt.
Yeah. There's nothing about chips happening here.
I'm just saying spice, that argument is not valid. So
yes.
For taste, things that go well with
the future, we'll find out about apple pie brownies, peanut butter Oreos, and chocolate chip cookies.
Shame about that Nutty Buddy thing. I was hoping to get that. Stick the Nutty Buddy in the fudge round.
Yeah, we know what you're trying to do.
It's been mentioned twice, which is two times more than it should be.
Everybody go check out crispycoaterrobots.com and check out the movie Two-Lane Blacktop, which is a classic cult film that nobody here has seen, which is amazing to me. Mm. All right, and also we have plenty of merchandise still available. A lot of it.
Merch.
Please buy our merch. And I think we're time now to go ahead and shoot this up in the air where it comes back down and dig it in the ground.
Here we go. Yeah.
All right, George, big line here. Which impression should I use? That's the big question.
Remember, there's always a hot bowl of chili and milk.
It is a little mouse. Look at George, there's a little mouse. He's talking about the milk. Look, he looks so like a little mouse. Look at you. You got any potatoes in there?
Nope, just chili.